This is Illinois State Head Football Coach Brock Speck, and you're listening to the Voice of the Redbirds, WJBC and WJBC.com.
The Brock Speck Coaches Show from Schooners is brought to you by Country Financial Representatives Steve Peterson and Melissa Eisenberg, by Miller Lite, and by Schooners. Now, let's talk Redbird football with the coach, Dick and Ted.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Brock Speck Show at Schooners on East Grove Street in Bloomington. Welcome, everyone. The Brock Speck Show is brought to you by Miller Lite and by Country Financial Representatives Melissa Eisenberg and Steve Peterson. I'm your host, Dick Ludke. My co-host is Ted Schmitz. Our on-site engineer is Eric Stock, and our in-studio producer for this broadcast is Patrick Barron. And, of course, the coach of the football Redbirds is Mr. Brock Speck. And, Coach, the Redbirds are getting set for a big challenge. Number one team in the country, the five-time defending national champions, the team that you have not played in the regular season for a couple of seasons.
It's been a while. 13 is the last time we played there, and obviously we played in 14 in the national championship game, so this will be a fun game to get back into again. I think we've always played pretty well up there. We'll see how we do this time, but we've played pretty well up there, and it's been all the games have been very, very competitive, and it's been a lot of fun.
Well, they're obviously a tough team to play, certainly a tough team to beat, but I just get the impression that you like the challenge of taking them on, and you've missed them during the regular season.
Yeah, I really have missed them, and a lot of people wouldn't probably think I'm not saying that, but I enjoy these kind of games. You know, that's why we play college football. We coach college football. That's why we do this, is to play in games like this. And I was very fond of these games in the Big Ten. Love playing Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame are always my favorite games. And these are games that people remember. So it'll be fun. It's quite a venue. They have a lot going for them. They have quite a tradition and great fan support. But we'll be fine. You know, we played there before, and you know, we've been on the road this year, and we played, you know, pretty well in spots, but we last 2 weeks kind of stubbed our toe and got to find a way to win a game and finish in critical situations. That's been our bugaboo here lately.
Well, that's right. The 2 3-point losses in succession in both games. You came from behind, and in both games, you had a chance to pull it out of the fire at the end. More so in the Indiana State game, the most recent game.
Yeah,
than the Eastern game.
I thought that game, we were going to win that game at the end. I was hoping we were playing to win it. And, you know, we fall off a block, and a quarterback gets hit, he fumbles, and that's the game. And unfortunately, we've made critical errors in really critical situations 2 weeks in a row, where the week before we made some big plays, obviously, and were able to win those games. And we've won a lot of those games over the years, and we'll win more, and I hope it starts this Saturday. I think this game is going to be hotly contested, and it'll be fun for our guys to go up there and play.
Coach, I think that Indiana State probably was a little bit better offensive team than Eastern was, and I really felt that you really were the better team on Saturday. And if you'd had your quarterback from the start of the game, in my opinion, you'd have won that football game, and you did the right thing in protecting your player and not playing him. But I think without a doubt, the way he sparked that team when he came in, that you would have won that ball game.
Yeah,
if you had.
You know, you look back on it, you know, it's, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, but you probably, you know, we probably had a chance to win the game. And it was Jake's health that had me worried more than anything else. And he's still a very young player, and he took a real shot in the Eastern game. You know, we blew a protection, he got hit in the back and hurt his throwing shoulder, and he really didn't throw much until about Thursday last week. This is the day he actually threw the football, and so he wasn't really well prepared from that standpoint. He was out running his footwork drills, and he threw the ball a little bit, you know, in some of our team periods, but wasn't really well prepared. And I didn't want to put him out there if we could get away with it.
Yeah.
But I just felt that, you know, we're going to need him to win the game. You know, our defense was. You know, I was hoping they'd play like that against Northwestern, and even, you know, even against Eastern, we played well. And we were struggling to get off the field on third down in that game. It was a really hot day, and we were getting wore out. And we had some, you know, minor stuff come up from an injury standpoint that took some guys out of the game, and we were playing a little short-handed. And And I felt that was – I asked Jake, and he said, I feel fine, Coach. And he said that after he warmed up, and I just didn't want to throw him out there if we didn't have to take the risk. But I felt the reward outweighed the risk, and so we put him in the game. And he played very well for the most part. You know, he had some big-time throws and looked really, really good. The fumble sack was – you know, you'd like to see him get rid of the ball a little quicker. You know, he should have gotten rid of the ball probably, but that was a protection issue. It wasn't really on him. But and he missed a couple third-down throws. I think they were open. That's what's been really frustrating for me with him is that he's such a good kid and he's such a hard worker and such a works his butt off to prepare. And he's throwing at a 70% completion percentage.
Right.
The school record is 65, someone told me today.
Yep.
And you know, he goes in his pace. He's going to be a school record holder. I don't know if he can continue this pace, but he's been really pretty accurate. But he missed some critical throws in that game on third downs, and that he had some guys. And but that's just been the story the last 2 weeks. We just haven't been able to convert or make a stop or kick a ball out of bounds or drop a punt or something or kick off and put ourselves in a really bad field position or in a bad situation. Or have a bad penalty, and it's just been one of those deals. And you know, we got some young guys out there, and experienced guys in certain positions that are very critical, and that's kind of rearing its ugly head right now in these tight games. But it's where it is. You know, the only way they get better is that they have to play, and we're gonna play through it, and we'll be fine. So,
third down situations, and to me, your offensive percentage converting third downs isn't bad at all, but especially the past couple of games, the defense has not done well with regard to third down efficiencies. But you've been getting them to third. They've had a lot of third down plays, which means you're doing well on first and second downs. What if you have a good defense on the field, why would a defense not be as effective on third down?
Well, it can be a variety of things. You know, if it's involved the passing game, which usually does on third down, you know, a pass rush is really important. And putting pressure on the quarterback is paramount in doing that. And when you have to take guys out of coverage to do that and blitz, you open yourself up to big plays sometimes. And we did that in the Eastern game, late in the game. We had a long run. That was basically a pass blitz. And they ran the football and caught us in a – and probably a defense we really wouldn't like to be in, but we should have executed. If we execute our techniques, it's a tackle for a loss. And we didn't do that, and they scored a touchdown and separated themselves again. But, we've been really good against the run. I didn't think we were very good on Saturday against the run. I shouldn't say very good. We were okay, but in critical situations in the second half, we weren't able to stop the running game to any extent. You know, we went for it on fourth down at midfield because I thought the momentum was swinging our direction. I look back on that call, and I think I made the right decision to go for it. Decision I wish I would have had back because I thought I should have called timeout right before the play because I saw the blitz coming. And that way we could have brought this offense to the sideline and talked it over and maybe either punted or maybe get them out of that pressure knowing that we know it's coming. But didn't, and because my thought process was I had three timeouts in my back pocket, and I thought the game was going to come down to a possession in the end where I'm going to have to use those timeouts, which it did. But I look back and maybe I should have burned a timeout there. But who knows? You know, you kind of beat yourself up on things like that. But we did have the timeouts at the end of the game, and we still could have had a chance to win the game in the end and didn't get it done. So it's the way it goes.
One difference between you and a lot of other coaches, Coach Spack, is that you beat yourself up publicly. You acknowledge. I mean, we appreciate it because you take us through what you're thinking, and we want to know what you're thinking
right,
in those situations.
Right, and football fans want to know that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not too proud to say I made a lot of mistakes. I make mistakes every day. And
as do we all.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that going for it in that situation was a mistake, but I think calling not using the timeout there was a mistake, in my opinion. I wish I had that back, but that was my thought process going through it. It's amazing. I was about 15 seconds and I've talked about it for 10 minutes.
Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah.
That's how much time you have to – that's how much time you got.
And
to make
speaking
–
speaking
all that stuff goes through your head.
Yeah, speaking – yeah. The point you're making is how much time do you have to make the decision?
You got about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you got to make – and sometimes you second-guess yourself. But I don't think you're a very good coach if you don't. And, you know, anybody who thinks they got – Ted will tell you he's been in this profession for a long time. But anybody who thinks they got it figured out is lying to themselves.
Yeah, right.
Because as soon as you think you got it figured out, you know, someone comes along and screws that up. But you could ask Craig Bull that right now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he went to Wyoming.
And he was on top of the world, and he probably wishes he's back in Fargo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and we're finding out how good a job that is. And it's a pretty impressive place. And, you know, Coach is a very excellent coach. And, you know, he's struggling out there in Wyoming. I've been to Wyoming, so I can tell you it's not easy.
But, one thing that'll help you, though, Coach, is you're getting some players back now that you haven't had. And right. This will give you some depth, which is huge, and get some people to be able to play in the position they maybe naturally should be. Maybe not all at once, but you can have them for part-time in this ball game, which
right.
will help.
It'll help. And particularly front people.
Yeah.
We got two
right.
front guys coming back.
Right.
Chad Kanyu. Would have been huge in that game Saturday because, you know, Avaloy went out and Tyler Brown came in and played admirably and did a nice job. But we could have kept Mark at center and played Kanyu at guard.
Right.
Kanyu's 310 pounds,
right.
you know, and he's 6'5 and a half, but he's had a broken hand. And he's available this week. Now, he might not play a bunch, but
right.
he could go in a game and give yourself a rest or if we have another situation arise and give you a different option
exactly.
at least. And might help you. Chad McGowan Matt McGowan has been out with a broken foot. He was walking in his backyard right before training camp and broke his foot walking in his backyard. And he's been out. He's our short snapper, and also is a you know, he plays, you know, 40-50 snaps a game on defense and defensive line. And that's a lot of snaps. He's a very good player. So we haven't had him at all. So he would have been huge up yet last weekend. But, again, those two guys, this is going to be a front-dominated game.
Yes.
So we'll have both those guys available. I don't know how much they'll play, but at least they'll be available to help us if they need to. So that's going to help us, no doubt. It's just been one of those years, you know, things just haven't quite lined up the way you want them. And we've kind of you said we've been playing from behind, but we've kind of been playing behind from the start before we even started practice. It just seems like we've been behind. Including the head coach getting hurt, and it's just been one of those years, you know, just playing from behind, and you know, what's sad about it is we really prepared well, and you know, we had a really good plan, and you know, like MacArthur says, all great war plans go to the hell of the handbasket when you hit the beach.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so it's been our deal. Every Saturday's kind of been an adventure, and. But I you know, I really like our players. They're a really, really good guy. That's who you feel bad for when you lose a game like we had last week and the weekend before, a game you could have won, and because they've worked so hard and they don't mean to make mistakes, but they're just some of them just aren't quite ready yet. You know,
it's just gonna take
tough learning moments. You know, I'll say the play that kind of changed the whole season right now is the interception. Against Eastern Ohio,
you
know, deep in our territory, that whole it just deflated us, and I don't know if we really recovered yet.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see us get over that because I think we felt okay after the Northwestern game. Our passing game was doing well, and okay, we got it. We're figuring it out. Our quarterback's going to be a really good player, and we got good receivers, and that just one throw, you know, it took the wind out of our sails and hurt our confidence a little bit. I don't know if we fully recovered yet. And so Kobe's thrown the ball very well this week for everybody to know that. He's more determined than ever. He's worked, you know, the receivers are doing a good job. I think Anthony Worm finally looks like he's back a little bit. He's been a little banged up and people really don't know that. He's had a knee issue, he's had a lower back issue. So we've had to kind of wean him through this early part of the season. This is the best he's felt. In a month. So, you know, all those things, you know, that some even guys who are playing, you know, fans don't understand. They always don't play. They don't feel good because it's a physical game. And I tell linebackers when I was a linebacker coach, I said, you know, the best first day of practice, I sit in the meeting room. I say, listen, man, this is the best you're going to feel all year long.
Yeah.
It's just going to go downhill from here. And you have to be able to deal with that. And the older you are, the better. The more strong mentally you are, you can handle that. And guys who haven't been through that get to this time of year and they don't really know how to respond. So, and that's kind of where we're at. But I think we're kind of getting over the hump.
You got a young team. You really do overall. Yeah.
You lost 5,000 yards of offense too.
Yeah, that hurts.
and so we've been trying to figure out how to gain that back.
Well, the Birds will try to start gaining it back against North Dakota State. That's a 1 o'clock game, by the way, in Fargo. We'll begin our broadcast from the Fargo Dome at high noon. We hope if you're not making the trek to Fargo, that you'll be with us here on WJBC and WJBC.com. We're going to take a quick break here. I do want to mention that our player guest for this edition of the Brock Spack Show is senior punter Reese Attard from Australia, who's having another fantastic season. We'll visit with him and find out a little bit more about Reese and his migration all the way from Werribee in Australia to Bloomington Normal, Illinois. The Brock Spack Show is brought to you by Miller Lite and by Country Financial Representatives Melissa Eisenberg and Steve Peterson. We'll get to Reese Attard here a little bit later, but we'll talk more with the coach, Brock Spack, on the Brock Spack Show after we pause for this on WJBC and WJBC.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're in the dining room at Schooners on East Grove Street in Bloomington, Illinois, for another edition of the Brock Spack Show. The Redbirds will take a 2-2 record into their game against the top-ranked team in the country, the five-time defending national champion North Dakota State Bison, who are 3-0 thus far, and among their three wins, one at the University of Iowa. Brock, the last time you played them, you referred to it a bit ago. It was for the national championship. Now, there are not too many players who were left on either team who were principal players in that game. But do you find yourself thinking a lot about that game as you prepare for this one?
They haven't really changed a whole lot structurally. The players have changed a little bit. And I think I've done six radio shows in North Dakota this week.
I've done a few myself.
It's unbelievable. I deal more with their press than I do ours when we play them, but they're really good people and they love football and that question's come up quite a few times about their team and they said, Coach, I noticed today the guys I did a radio show today, two of them actually, and both of them said, we noticed your quote that you said the Bison is just the same old thing that you noticed back in 14. You know, what did you mean by that? I said, well, nothing. Then nothing really has changed. I said, that's what I meant. Nothing's really changed. The names have changed in the back of the jerseys. There's a different number maybe at that position. But the body looks the same. The technique looks the same. The result looks the same to me. And that's what's that's extraordinary about what they've done there, that they're able to reproduce that each and every year. I think they're – I don't know – until I play them, I guess, live, but they look every bit as good or even better than they did in 14. There's just really not a lot of weaknesses. I mean, this guy isn't very good or this part of their team isn't very good. You know, everybody has a little weakness, and they don't. You know, that's where they may have a part of their team may be not as good as they were in 14, but they're still really good, you know. And I think it's a very similar offense. I can tell you Wentz compared to Stick, Wentz is a little taller, guy. He's a bigger guy. He's got probably a better arm. This guy throws the ball plenty good enough to hurt you with his arm. This guy is faster than Wentz, and Wentz runs well. Now, Wentz is a 4.6 guy. This guy is faster than Wentz, so he's probably a little more of a running threat than even Wentz was. I thought Wentz ran very well. Not quite as big as Wentz, but 220 pounds, and he's built like a linebacker, so he's a good player. Their backs are very similar to the guys they've had in the past. Their fullbacks are good. Their front, very good. So defense, very good. They lost to Luka for the season. So we'll see. But I think they're just a really, really good football team. They haven't changed a whole lot. So it's going to be very interesting.
Nick DeLuca is the man you referred to there. Their leading tackler through their first three games, a senior linebacker, who is a loss, but they're so deep that it doesn't hurt them as much as it might a lot of other teams.
No, and the guy that comes in and plays, I don't know his name, is 44. He's very, very quick.
Plank is the last
name. Good athlete and can run and not quite as big. DeLuca is 6'4", you know, and he's 235, 240. He's a high draft. But
yeah.
He's the best defensive player I've seen in this league. You know, they had Kyle Emanuel. He's a very good player. We had Colton Underwood. We've had some other good players here, but Shelby Harris and some guys like that. But, in Northern Iowa had some very good defensive players, a kid playing DB now for the Bears. But I think DeLuca's the best player prospect I've seen in the Missouri Valley for a pro because he's so long. Remember, he made the play in the national championship game. Yes. They won the game for him.
Yeah.
He's the one who broke up the pass.
Yep.
And
that
he was
would
just,
have put you in field goal range.
Correct. And he was just a sophomore then. I knew right then. I mean, you could tell he's very, very sudden and athletic. And it's hard to make. And they tried to put me on the spot up there today about him not playing. I said, you know, will that be a big loss? I said, I'm sure it is, but I think 44 is a good player.
Yeah.
You know, I really do. And so it's I don't know how much fall off they'll have, but just a really tremendous football program. It's just it is what it is.
Easton Stick is the quarterback. You referred to him. He's a sophomore. Played 8 games last year because of the injury to Wentz. The Bison won them all. Obviously an extremely talented quarterback. And I mentioned he's a sophomore. Jake Colby's a sophomore. The kid at Indiana State you went against last week who looked good, a sophomore. The quarterback at Northwestern, who's a good quarterback, is a sophomore. Where are all these sophomore quarterbacks coming from?
I know, and the kid at Western Illinois is a sophomore.
Yeah.
And he's a very good player. And those are decisions you have to make in recruiting because we were recruiting all 3 of those guys. Stick, and we got on Stick a little late, but with Colby, it came down to Colby and the kid at Western Illinois. You have to make a decision. We went with the kid in state, and we still think we made the right decision. And really like our quarterback. We had a great one here that he was behind, and he had to wait his turn, and he has. It's gonna be a lot of fun watching these quarterbacks develop. And I think Jake has a really big ceiling yet. He hasn't played as much as the kid at Western yet. He hasn't played as much as Stick has. So he doesn't have quite the game experience. But you watch him throw now. I'm even curious to see what people think if you put him side by side. If you watch him throw, you know, he's a very, you know, our guy's a very good player. So I think once Jake gets more experience under his belt, he's gonna be a handful in our league. And we just hope we can protect him and get him to play well this weekend and continue to get better throughout the season.
Coach, to me, this game is very similar to your second game when you went up to Northwestern to play a Big Ten team. This is very similar. I said that when you were going into that game. That was reminding me a lot of you preparing to go to North Dakota State. So I know as well as I'm sitting here that you can go up there and win this football game. In fact, I think you're going to go up there and win this football game. But do you approach it any way similar to that, or is there anything similar to Northwestern that this team would be for you to prepare for?
Not really. Other than the fact you're going to play in a big venue and you're playing against a really good team and every game takes on its own life.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And even when the game starts, the game's different. You know, the Northwestern game was completely different the second time we played them than it was in 2010. Obviously, we had a much better team, and they were a better team, I thought, this year. But it's just a different feel to it. I'll be curious to see what this – I don't know if – you know, it's hard to repeat that national championship game.
Because
it's so intense. But it'll be interesting to see because we've had really, really good games against these guys everywhere we played them, whether it was here or up there, whether it was 2009, 2010. We beat them here in 10.
I was going to say.
Right.
We beat them there in 9.
We beat them there.
Yeah, we beat them 2 years in a row. And we went up there in 11, I thought played really well, but turned it over twice deep in their territory. Going into score, we threw a pick 6.
Yeah.
That went 100 and some odd yards the other direction. And they had another one go 100, almost 100 yards, but he tripped. So we had a chance to win that game.
Yep.
We should have maybe won by 2 scores if we would have converted, but we didn't. They played great in the red zone and really caused us problems. And that's what I'm saying. You can't make those mistakes up there. It seems like when you make a mistake against North Dakota State, it's 7 points for them.
Yeah.
You know, they make a mistake, and they force a field goal. Yeah. You know, so that's this kind of way it's been. But they make you pay for making mistakes, and they're more like that than any team I've ever really have ever played against.
Yeah,
you make a mistake against them, you're going to pay, and it's just the way it is.
Well, and you don't make mistakes, but you're one of the few teams that have gone up there and beaten them in their place, Coach. I think you and Indiana State, the only two I can remember in this league the last few years.
South Dakota.
Oh, that's right, last year. Yeah, right. Okay.
South Dakota did last year, but yeah. And you know, I think that's when Wentz got hurt, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm sure they weren't ready for that,
right?
And, and they caught him off guard, and so. But hey, that's football. You know, you never know, and. Every game takes its own life, but to answer your question, it's kind of like that. But I think they're all tough, you know.
Yeah.
Anytime you play in our league, and I worry just as much about playing Eastern Illinois and Indiana State than I do North Dakota State.
Gotcha.
Because
okay.
Every game's important, you know, and at least I do. I'm not, you know, I hope our players do too, but we emphasize it that way.
They over the last 7 years. 6 years and the two games they've played there this year, they are 50-4 at the Fargo Dome. So they're a pretty good home football team. Of course, your record at home is excellent as well. But one of the differences playing there, first of all, you've referred to the fact that they have incredible crowd support and they're in a dome, and so it is incredibly noisy. Is that a factor?
Well, that's probably what Ted was saying. Dick's a good question. We pumped in crowd noise all week. We didn't have it today, but we had some rain out there. We couldn't put the speakers out there, but we had it all week and put it right behind the offense, and it drives everybody crazy, including the coaches. But it's something you have to do, you know, because the crowd noise is a factor in there, and you have to go in silent cadence and hand signals and that kind of stuff. So particularly on offense, that's critical. But even defensively, you know. That's been our issue on defense is communication. We've had some breakdowns because our communication hasn't been great. And we got into a no-huddle situation last weekend where they sped their no-huddle up, and we missed a few communication calls within our calls, and we cut some guys loose and cost us touchdowns on defense. So communication is a big part of football. So the noise does become a factor when that happens. So you have to practice that. We pipe in crowd noise.
Yep. 1 o'clock is game time at the Fargo Dome. We'll be on the air at noon with the play-by-play coverage, with pregame coverage until 1 o'clock, when we'll start our play-by-play coverage of the matchup between the Bison and the Redbirds, the two teams who have shared the Missouri Valley Football Conference Championship each of the last two seasons. All right, we'll take another break. Before we do, we remind you that the Brock Spack Show is brought to you by Miller Lite and by Country Financial representatives Melissa Eisenberg and Steve Peterson. Our player guest, Reese Attard, the senior punter from Down Under, will join us next when we continue after this on WJBC and WJBC.com. It is the Brock Spack Show. We are here at Schooners in the dining room. Welcome back, everyone, to Club Key with Ted Schmitz here, on-site engineer Eric Stock, our in-studio producers Patrick Barron, and the player guest for this edition of the Brock Spack Show is Reese Attard, the senior punter who hails from Australia. That's R-E-E-C-E, and Attard is A. Double T A R D. Welcome to the show, Reese.
Thanks very much for having me.
Well, it's great to have you here in Bloomington Normal, punting for the Redbirds. We want to learn a little more about you, so let's start at the beginning. Where were you born?
I was born in Carlton, which is Melbourne, and I grew up in Werribee, which is just on the outskirts of the city.
In Melbourne.
Yeah, correct.
You've been there your entire life.
My entire life.
Until you came here, of course.
Yeah.
Your parents, did they grow up there?
Yeah, both from Melbourne themselves, and we had a house in Werribee since I was born, and they're still there currently.
Tell us about your parents.
My mother is a principal at an elementary school back home.
Was she at your elementary school?
No, she never wanted me to grow up in her school system because she knew there might be a little bit of conflict there.
That was a good thing for you, probably.
It was probably a good thing for me too. Yeah, you're not wrong. And my father, he was a builder. He built a lot of homes and things like that. And he's nice. Retired now. I had a few illnesses in the past, but no, they're both doing good.
I understand they're listening to us right now.
They are. They've I sent them out the text this morning, and my mum jumps on absolutely everything Redbirds, and my dad does too.
All right. What time is it where they are?
It's 9 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that's not so bad.
That's not bad.
Not inconvenient at all. Well, Mr. and Mrs. Attard, we're glad to have you among those in the audience. How about siblings?
I have a one brother, my older brother Matthew, and two sisters, Laura and Kate. So it was a big family growing up, and we're all very competitive, all sports athletes. So
they're still all back home?
Or yep, everybody's back home. It's just myself here
just
in the United
you.
States. Yeah.
Have any of those, your parents or your siblings, been able to watch you play a college football game?
Fortunately, my sister came to visit me in Maine when I was playing in Maine. My older sister, Laura, that is. And then my sister, Kate, and my mom came over last year to watch me play. And fortunately, for my senior game this year, I'll have quite a few family members over here. So I'm pretty excited about
that.
Very
nice. Final home game of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Against Missouri State. Yeah, you referred to Maine. You played at Husson University, H-U-S-S-O-N, which is in Bangor. How did you get there?
Yeah.
That's a real funny story, actually. So when I decided that I finally wanted to try out the American football dream, I alphabetically went down a list of Division III schools because I knew I'd never played before, unlike C.J. Larris, who punted before me. And when Husson come up, they contacted me straight away. They saw my tapes and actually came over here to be a wide receiver, believe it or not. And they got me here and were in need of a punter. And I was like, okay, oh, give me a go. I'll try it out. I've kicked a football my whole life playing Australian football. And they saw me kick it. And then they put me in a glass box from that day and said, you're not playing receiver or nothing like that. We're just going to have you kick and punt. And the rest is history.
Yeah, you had not played this brand of football, of course, until how old were you?
I actually moved here when I was 23, so I'm a bit more of a non-traditional student.
Yeah.
I worked for many, 4 years after high school. I wouldn't say many years, but and then when I came over here, yeah, I started playing the game in 2012.
And you've adapted in a hurry, it seems to me. But you mentioned you play Australian rules football, which involves kicking the football quite a bit, right?
Oh, yeah. To pass the ball, the only way you can pass it is by kicking it or hand passing it, which is a little bit of a punch of the ball. You're not allowed to throw it or anything like that. So, I was easily to adapt to the style of kicking in American football. It's a little bit different, but mm-hmm. I still, from kicking a football, had that base skill.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and we can see evidence of that every Saturday when you're at Hancock Stadium or wherever you're at in the Missouri Valley Football Conference. What other sports did you play back home?
Oh, well, I was a sports nut growing up. I played everything from basketball, triathlon, sprinting, Australian football, rugby, soccer, swimming.
Tennis?
Life-saving tennis.
Yeah?
Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
Everything, in other words.
Have you ever kicked indoors before? This is your first time, maybe?
I have not, and this is, I'm really excited.
You're
gonna to get
like
indoors.
It.
Yeah,
you're
going to
like
get
it.
Out of the
you'll be back to that
Midwest
average.
Weather for a little bit and get indoors and hopefully kick the skin off of the football.
It's ideal for kickers and punters.
Oh, really most is. Definitely. We love it.
One skill that you have that Ted and I have definitely noticed is great. You have a good foot, obviously. But great hands. You have scooped some off the turf, short hopped them. You've leaped in the air. You have some legs there that give you a little height as well. Leaped in the air to catch a snap that's not totally on target. It looks to me like you played shortstop. Did you ever play any baseball?
No baseball at all, actually. It's a really small sport in Australia. But like I said, coming from Australian football, basically, if I could describe it, it's kind of like playing wide receiver and DB across the whole field. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of running, catching, and kicking the football, so I've had a lot of hand coordination and in all the sports that I've played in the past, so that definitely helps me out here.
Well, it's served you well here at Illinois State, no question about it. Let's talk a little bit about your position coach. Jake Schoonover heads up the special teams. How is it to play for Coach Schoonover?
Oh, it's great. I mean, from the first day that he got in contact with me when he was recruiting me, we've had a good rapport, and just moving forward, we've always seen eye to eye, and he definitely utilizes my skills as an Australian, I guess you could say, with the rugby punts and things like that. He puts me in a great position to put our team in a good position and hopefully flip the field on every punt. But Jake's a great coach, and everybody loves him on the football field, and he's always got a smile on his face, and Yeah, we love working together.
Now, your predecessor was also from Australia, C.J. Laros, who actually coached last year and helped indoctrinate you into the system. But you didn't know C.J. in Australia.
No. So when I was doing a little bit of marketing for myself coming from a D3 school in Maine, I had to really put myself out there. And when I got in contact with Coach Schoonover, I had mentioned that, you know, CJ's Australian, I'm Australian, you know, it's a good way to get onto another punter. And he loved the fact that I was Australian and wanted to get me in to see what I could do. But CJ was a tremendous help, a friend on and off the field, really taught me a lot, and through his experiences was allowed to, like, move that on to me. Yeah, I miss him greatly too. He's just moved home. But yeah, tremendous rapport. I talk to him every day still, even though we're halfway across the world, and keep him updated on all the Redbirds news. And no, it was a great thing, me coming here. It was the best fit for me, transferring to any school around the country. I couldn't see it going any other way.
Fantastic.
One thing you can do that he didn't do as well as you, for sure, was you will run to the right and kick that darn ball across field to the left. I mean, that's got to be something that not many guys can do, because if you got one deep back there, he comes over with you, you get the roll every time.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, that's the beauty of having all those kind of punt options, and especially with the rugby punt, is that I can run out to the right-hand side and do the exact same steps and everything like that, and I can either put it to the right, to the middle, to the left.
That's awesome.
It's just a little bit of a move of the hip, a little bit of tilt of the ball, and I can put it to either direction.
Well, tell CJ we said hi, by the way.
I will.
Okay. Was everybody here misses him? There he is. He was our buddy.
CJ was a lot of fun, and you are too. Now, do we have another Australian waiting in the wings to replace you?
That's right. He's a senior. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, currently, we coaches are always recruiting, so and I'll definitely help out with Schoonover's recruiting as much as he needs. But we always have guys on the lookout, and definitely they're looking to hopefully keep the tradition going, and I would love to see another Australian come in after me, especially.
Yeah, well, we really enjoy watching you. We must admit that through a lot of the game, we root not to see you.
Yeah, right.
We want the offense to move the ball down the field, score touchdowns, score field goals. When the punt team comes onto the field, it means the offense hasn't been able to keep the possession. But, boy, when you're out there, you do good work, Reese, and so keep it up.
I really appreciate that.
Reese Attard, ladies and gentlemen, the senior from Werribee, Australia, our player guest on this edition of the Brock's Back Show. We'll take another break. We'll be back with the coach after this on WJBC and WJBC.com. From the dining room at Schooners on East Grove Street in Bloomington, it is the Brock's Back Show, brought to you by Miller Lite and by Country Financial representatives Melissa Eisenberg and Steve Peterson. Coach, we appreciate you recruiting entertaining guys like Reese Attard for the benefit of this program. It's wonderful.
Yeah, they are. They're very interesting guys. I was just telling you guys off air, we haven't found another Australian. We got to go get one, because they're very good athletes. You know, they're not just great punters. They're just really good athletes. You comment on his hands. And CJ was an excellent athlete, too. You watch CJ throw a football, he throws like a quarterback. He's a really – they grow up playing, you know, football games. I mean, you know, Australian rules football, rugby, soccer, all kicking games. And they have to learn multiple skills, and they play in space. So they have to run a lot. So they're really good athletes. And, you know, you mentioned that. I mean, both kids have really gotten us out of binds on bad snaps or whatever, because they're such good athletes, and that's been huge. Wasn't a big fan of the rugby thing and the shield punting and kind of a traditionalist, and, man, I'm sold on it now. It makes it so much easier. You can put smaller guys up front and athletic guys that used to have to be big and long.
Yep.
Remember
yep.
how long you had to
yep.
be to protect. And now you can put faster guys in there and guys who are, you know, good football players. And it makes it a little easier because you got an athlete back there. And, you know, they're really a weapon. And I'm with you. I don't want them to see him very often. But when he's back there, I feel pretty good about it. So
they've
been great for us, no doubt about it.
And Reese had a very good game at Indiana State. Your special teams as a whole played
yeah,
well.
Yeah, much
in that
better.
Game.
You know, we were a little off against Eastern, I thought, but we played much better, and we hope we take another step forward this week. But, yeah, Reese punted. He got back to who he is, and it was very good in that game. And I thought we did a better job with special teams altogether.
You know, that's one place where, you know, usually when you go into a game, you got to win two out of the three. And one area that it looks like you might be better than North Dakota State is special teams, and one of them is the punting game.
Yeah, I think
you're better.
That's going to be interesting because, you know, statistically it says that, but, you know, we'll see if, you know.
Yeah, see
what happens on the field. But I think, you know, I thought North Dakota State over the years, every time we've played them, they've been very good on special teams. And if you remember, they had a strange play. The kicker mishit the ball on the kickoff national championship game starting the second half. If you remember, they stole a possession.
Yes.
And
yes.
That ball came off oddly in our up back. He started running, and the ball I've never seen a ball do that. It was like a knuckleball.
Yeah.
And it was right where he was, and they jumped on it and got an extra possession. So, you know, that was so I hope nothing like that happens, and I think we have a good chance of winning that part of the game, but we'll see.
You know, I'd totally forgotten that play, and it makes me think that we will never forget the long pass to Erzendowski that put them in position to score the winning touchdown. We'll never forget Trey Roberson's 58-yard gallop to put you ahead with 1:38 to go. I'll never forget Nick DeLuca's play to end the game. But I did forget that play, which was really had just as much impact probably on the outcome of the game as any of those other plays.
A bigger impact, and I think it was a big impact, but even bigger was putting O'Shaughnessy out there having him cover the kick. And we only did that in must situations, which means we must cover, and we knew we had to cover. We couldn't give Wentz a short field, and he hit him inside the 20 and knocked himself out. And couldn't play the last series of the game, and you kind of wonder what would happen if we had O'Shaughnessy in the game. You know, he's a very good player as well, and had a great national championship game. So
the Kansas City Chiefs think he's a pretty good
player. Yeah, he's pretty good. You know, you make an NFL team, you're a pretty good player.
And they wouldn't have taken the ball away from him on that crossing route. Nothing against Farmer, but they wouldn't have taken that ball away from O'Shaughnessy like they did.
No,
which I guys just all want to say they wouldn't have. I know they wouldn't have,
but. You know, it is what it is, you know.
Yeah, right.
And James was saying, "Coach, I want to go down." And it was a big play in the game. You know, you think that we'd make him go 80 or 79 yards, and how many yards it was. And that's what you want to do in that situation. And so it worked out, but it just didn't work out the way we wanted to.
Yep. Well,
the way it goes, you know.
Absolutely. Yes. And we move on Fargo, North Dakota on Saturday, where the Birds take on the Bison. 1 o'clock start. We're on the air at noon with coverage of the ball game. We're going to take our final break and be back with more of the Brock Spack Show, brought to you by Miller Lite and by Country Financial Representatives Melissa Eisenberg and Steve Peterson. Back with the conclusion of the Brock Spack Show after this on WJBC and WJBC.com. This is the Brock Spack Show. We are at Schooners in the dining room. Welcome back, everyone. We're so glad all of you are here. It is another nice crowd for the
great crowd
for the show.
Appreciate all the folks coming out.
Appreciate the people coming out to see the show. Again, the Birds and North Dakota State on Saturday at 1, our coverage at noon. The only two Missouri Valley Conference teams who've played a league game so far are the Redbirds and Indiana State. For the other eight teams, Coach, it's the first conference game of the season, including North Dakota State. But through the non-conference season, as you've observed what other Missouri Valley Conference schools have done, it appears that the league is no less strong this year than it has been.
No, there's been four, 1A wins within the league, and it's a stout conference, and it's going to be a lot of football yet to be played, and I don't know if anybody's going to go through this league unscathed, including the Bison. So, there's a lot of good football teams out there. Coach Tiller used to say something I think is very accurate. It's not who you play, it's when you play them. And sometimes you get a draw, you play a team at a bad time, and I think that's been our issue a little bit here lately. But hopefully that comes back around to help us out down the road. You know, someone goes limping into a game and they're not quite as good as they were the week before, and they get caught and they lose. So this is a tough conference from top to bottom. Every Saturday is going to be a playoff caliber game. So we just got to get better ourselves. Got to worry about ourselves and focus on us and don't worry about our opponent.
But that happened to you for sure last Saturday. You know, you go into the game with a 18-year-old freshman starting quarterback against any Missouri Valley team. You know you're going to have a tough day. Let me put it that way.
Yeah,
that kid did. Let's put it that
way.
And
we moved the date. The game was originally supposed to be played
right
at end of November.
Right.
And last week was our bye week. And we help each other out in our conference. You know,
right.
Scheduling is so hard. So you know, people are moving games for us. You know, we have some people that are going to move a game with us so we can schedule a non-conference game in the next 2 years. So, you don't want to play hardball. Say, oh no, we're not going to move it. You know, NCAA.
Yeah.
You know, they're hosting the NCAA cross country championships and didn't want a home game, and I get that. But
right.
Really, last week should have been our bye, but. You know, and I think that was the right thing to do. You know, obviously you.
Oh yeah.
And that didn't have any bearing on the game. That was
right.
We still should have won the game. You know, or could have won. I shouldn't say should, but could have won the game. And so that really doesn't matter. Sometimes when you're playing well, you'd rather keep playing.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I think it was good for us to get back on the horse and go out and play again. My personal opinion, I wouldn't want to sit around for 2 weeks after losing a game
right.
like we did against
right.
Eastern. I'm glad we did play. I think we were going to be better for it down the road, and I really do.
I agree.
Well, and there's such a long portion of the season left, obviously, and with the strength of the Missouri Valley Conference, you can certainly afford a few losses and still make it to the postseason.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to lose too many, but, yeah, you don't know what's going to happen. I think our football team is going to get a lot better, particularly offensively. I think we're going to get better and better and better. As we get through the season here, I just hope it's at the right time and may hopefully it's this weekend and we start getting really back to who we are, and it's a pretty potent offense. You know, we've shown signs, we've moved the ball well, we just haven't finished drives and we've stalled out on drives just from either a penalty or a turnover or whatever, a negative yardage play that stopped some of our drives. So that's where we're at and we just keep grinding away.
All right. Well, the grind continues at Fargo, North Dakota. Again, it's a 1 o'clock game on Saturday. We're on the air at noon. Brock, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, good job.
Coach of the Redbirds, Brock Spack. Thanks to him. Thanks to our player guest, Reese Attard. My colleague, Ted Schmitz. On-site engineer, Eric Stock. In-studio producer, Patrick Barron. Dick Ludke from Schooners saying so long for now.
The Brock Spack Coaches Show has been brought to you by Country Financial Representatives Steve Peterson and Melissa Eisenberg, by Miller Lite, and by Schooners.
And this is the voice of the Redbirds, WJBC and WJBC.com.
This has been a production of WJBC Radio Sports.